Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone. Today, I'm joined by a friend of the podcast. Had him on a couple of years ago. He's a nine-time NHL All-Star. And this year, he's being inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Roenick. Jeremy, congratulations. Pretty awesome. Long time in the making.
Wow. Thanks, Booney. I appreciate it. I know we've had this conversation before. I had a lot of fun in the podcast last time. Yeah, it is a long time coming, 12 years, actually. Not that I'm counting, but I am definitely happy it's happening, and that I'm not going to be able to hear the fans ask me, why aren't you in the Hall of Fame? Why aren't you in the Hall of Fame? Yeah. Because it's a constant barrage, and now I don't have to think about it. And I'm really humbled. I'm really excited, and it's going to be a big weekend for me this weekend.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Starts Friday. I think you're being inducted on Monday. All right. Baseball Hall of Fame's handled one way. Football Hall of Fame, it's get a knock at the door. Tell me about how you were informed, and take me through the process of the Hockey Hall of Fame and how it differentiates from the other two.
So from how I understand, and it seems like it's a big secret, right? Because it's a secret club, right? So there is a committee, a Hockey Hall of Fame committee made up of 18 ex-NHL people, whether it's players, executives, media, 18 distinguished people on the board. And from what I understand, you have to get nominated by somebody on the board, and then you have to go through a whole presentation to the organization, and then have a vote, and has to hit a certain vote before it moves on. And it can be very timely and very, very arduous to have to go through that process. It's not just your career, but it's how other people see your career, and especially the people on the Hall of Fame committee that that have their favorites or have their people that they should be on. And it becomes kind of a negotiating situation. And I was just fortunate enough to have a really good group of people that were supporting me this year. And it took 12 years. I found out literally coming out of a workout. I looked on my phone, Booney, and I had a phone call missed from 416 area code, which I know is Toronto. And I kind of freaked out a little bit because I wasn't thinking at the time that end of June is usually when they announce the Hall of Fame inductees. And I got a little sweaty palms, and about 5 minutes later, the phone rang again, and I answered it, and it was Mike Gartner and Landy McDonald, the chairman of the board. And I literally started crying. Like, I just couldn't speak. And you know me, Booney, I can speak. I'm never at a loss for words. And
you could speak, baby.
Yeah, I was crying, and I was swearing, and I was saying, no way. No, it's not happening. And I pulled up to a to the Starbucks. I ordered a coffee, and by the time I was pulling up to the Starbucks line, I couldn't grab the coffee. The guy was handing me the coffee. I couldn't get it. I didn't know what to do. I was a bumbling mess. I think he thought that something, you know, really bad happened to me in the car. But I remember pulling away, hanging up the phone, and just yelling at the top of my lungs inside the car, like, it's about time, you know, finally. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a whirlwind since. I still don't think it's hit me yet. It'll probably happen come Monday, but I'm truly grateful and honored for sure.
It's awesome too, because like you said, you got caught. It wasn't like there were whispers, is this the year? I'm sure you've had a lot of years where, like you said, I mean, I've had guys, hockey Hall of Famers on the podcast, and they've, you know, off camera, I ask him, what's up with Roenick? And it's like, he should be in. He's got the numbers. Everybody in your arena says that. So I could imagine over the years, why aren't you in the Hall of Fame? And you're kind of looking at him after a while with a smile, like, what the hell you want me to do? You know, what am I going to do? Go out and beat the drum and say, you need other people to do it for you. The fact you heard it the way you did and you were caught off guard, I think humbling is a great word. It's like, yeah, it really wow, is. I didn't expect this now.
Yeah, it really was humbling. To tell you the truth, I kind of gave up on it, Booney.
Yeah,
I did. I got to a point where I really didn't care anymore. I thought that to myself. Obviously, that's not the real feeling. But there comes a point where it's like really? And you see some of the people that are going in before you, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
And I kind of lost interest. And then when it happened for me, it's like, all of this pent up energy and all the questions and all the support and all the years just came flowing out. And I can't even believe how hard it hit me and how happy I was and how emotional I was. And, you know, they say, you know, good things come to those who wait. Well, this was a good example of something like that, because it really hit me a little bit harder, maybe because of how long I waited and what I went through to wait for it. It was really, really special.
You know, and I think about from a baseball perspective, you know, Freddie McGriff recently went in. I had him on the show, a couple other, the veteran committee and the baseball side of things.
You got to love the crime dog.
They had the same reaction as you, like, Booney, man. You know, for a while there, I was like, why? Why am I not getting in? And then all of a sudden when it happened, it was like, I didn't expect it. I had kind of given up on that dream that it was never going to happen. And they had the same reaction as you. It was like, it was more of, I wasn't angry at anybody. It was just, it was very humbling and like, wow. So it's an awesome story. It's cool. It's well-deserved.
You know what's interesting, Booney, was staying in the baseball field. I got really sad when Pete Rose died. I got sad for... Not because I knew him or because I think was one of the best baseball players of all time, but I know what he went through in terms of, you know, not being in the Hall of Fame, the naysayers, and he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. I know he was the product of his own doings. I get it, but he died not having that ability to see himself going to the Hall of Fame, if that would have happened. And I don't know if they'll do it afterwards now that he's dead, that he passed, but I kind of felt that was going to be me, that they would put me in after I was not here anymore.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. I really felt bad. I was actually, you know, almost shed a couple tears and cried, because it's like, I know how he felt, and I'm just very happy and grateful that, I get to be here to see it, and he didn't. And that really makes me sad, man. I know all the dynamics around it. I understand it, but still it's sad.
Wait, you know, Pete. Okay. And my relationship with Pete, my dad and Pete were teammates in Philadelphia for years. So I grew up with Pete as a little kid. That was my relationship. Pete, I was 12. Pete was Pete in 1980. And then I had more of a child relationship with him than I did as an adult. Yeah. Now through my career at events where Pete would show up, you know, I got to interact with him as an adult, but I had him on probably, I forget, Mike will be able to tell me better, a few months before he passed away. And when he passed away, it was sudden, but Pete was a guy, man, I'll tell you what, he's one of those break the mold. There's nobody like Pete Rose. I've never seen him have a bad day. I've never seen him not being sarcastic and busting your balls.
Yes.
And he was on the show that day. And for the first time, I saw a different side. It's weird that you bring this up, because he said, my dad asked me about how was Pete on the show. I said, you know, Dad, that's the first time I've seen Pete Rose in my life in any atmosphere a little bit sad. And he wasn't, he was still really Pete, but he got to what you were talking about. And he said, Booney, he said, here's the thing. He said, the Hall of Fame, he's, you know, and he went through his, what he did to put himself in this position. But he said, you know, he said, the sad thing about it is, he said, they're probably not going to put me in and I'm going to die. And why put me in then? He said, the only reason I want to be put in so my friends and family, I can enjoy this moment with them.
Yeah.
And he said, you put me in after I'm gone. Why even put me in? And from, I've never seen this side of Pete before in my life. And he said that, and then a few months later, you know, I'm buddies. I grew up with little Pete, his son. And, you know, I reached out to him right when it happened. I didn't know, you know, he was on the, you know, I don't know. This might have been a sudden thing, and I'm not sure about it. You know, I didn't hear that he was sick or anything, and I didn't expect that. Yeah, he's getting older. I think Pete's in his 80s now, so we all have our time clock.
Yep.
But when it happened, I thought about it a little bit, too, because of my my relationship with him. And like I said, as far as ball players go, I grew up in a weird situation with my family. It's all I knew was baseball. I didn't have a favorite player, or a favorite team. I loved them all. I got to hang out and be a pain in the ass. Great. Probably.
It was great.
So, but if you pin me down and you said, well, who's your favorite player? My answer was, I didn't have a favorite player. I loved all the players. But if you pin me down and say, who do you want to play like? It was always Pete Rose. I said,
awesome.
When the national anthem ended, nobody, and I think until this day, has never played the game like Pete Rose. And he was Charlie Hustle, and it's kind of a corny name, but it's awesome.
And I think the way that he played and the level that he played in and the personality that he was trumps by 1,000 times what he did, what kept him out. And at some point, everybody gets second chances in this world. You see a lot of people getting second chances and people forgiving. And the fact that he was one of the few people that wasn't forgiven, that should have been forgiven because of how good he was. I mean, arguably the best of all time hitter. Obviously, there's a couple of people you can put in there. However, Charlie Hustle, the attitude, the commitment, the competitiveness,
the stamp on the game. I mean, Jeremy, I'm sure, and I know how competitive you were. I was too, but I know, you know, maybe you had a game where you scored a certain amount of goals and you were pissed because you didn't score five. Well, it's like getting hits at a baseball game. I'm 4-for-4 and I hit a 3-run homer and we won. If I go 4-for-5, I'm kind of all right with it. Pete wasn't that way. It's like if he had 4, he had to have 5. And I think that's what kind of separated him from mortals and Pete Rose. And it was pretty odd. And I think one day they're going to put him in. You know, what you fear is when you're long gone, they're going to put him in. And hopefully they do it so the people that were closest to him maybe can celebrate
that. I hope so.
In some sort of way.
Well, thanks for letting me talk about that, because I hope they do.
Very cool. You've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame before. I'm sure you have, but
I have.
What's that like? I got to do it. I got to do the baseball when Hoffman went in. I got to go and see that whole ceremony. I thought it was a lot smaller on TV, but man, when you're on that, you know, we're up in the front, all the players and friends and family, and then you look back, it's like Woodstock. So it was pretty awesome. Yeah. I took my boys, you know, I got to take the tour and I got to go underneath, and they had a whole drawer for the Boone family. And the coolest thing I got to see, you know, some of my items were in there, but my dad's, but I got to see my grandpa's stuff and his great grandkids got to see his glove and the jersey that he wore in 1947 that these kids had never seen before. So that was the special side for me. Anyway, Hockey Hall of Fame. I'm sure you got some items in there. Yeah. Tell me about what it's like up in Toronto.
It's really cool. You know, you go in, and it's hockey history, right? You go back to the people that you watched on television, the people that you idolized. And then even the people that I played against, right? And looking into their displays and seeing the old shirts and the old sticks and the pucks that they scored 500 or 50 goals with. And, you know, I have a couple really cool items going into my display. I have my little Bantam New Jersey Rockets hockey jacket that literally looks like it should be on a five-year-old that I wore in 1985. It is the smallest thing you've ever seen. And the significance of that is 3 years later, I was playing for the Chicago Blackhawks. It's like really cool to go down memory lane and to see different players and how they grew up and the things that they accomplished and things that are very meaningful to them. And, you know, if you're a historian of the game or you just love the game, you love the history of the game. And there's nothing that brings you closer to the history of the game than walking through a Hall of Fame and seeing the best players to ever play that game. Because if you want to be great and you want to play in the National Hockey League, you have to dream. You have to dream about the best players. You have to dream about what did they do to get there. What was it, right? If there's ever something that made you dream of not just being in the Hall of Fame, but just to be an athlete or to play pro sports or to get motivated, you know, you walk through the halls of greatness. It really is. And, you know, whether it's the videos that you're watching, the displays that you see, you go see the busts of the players that are there. You know, you really get a warm feeling of a sport that you're in love with and you're passionate about. And you say thanks to the people that carved the way, that paved the way. We forget about that a lot. You know, I think it's easy to forget about how the game has gotten to where it is today and the people that have slowly built it. And you get to see that walking through the Hall of Fame. It's really a special thing to do.
It's probably, you know, the times you've been there in the past versus this time, probably going to be a little different when you walk in. You're probably going to get those chills. Well, I couldn't even imagine. Yeah, for the 3 days, you're just going to be walking on a cloud. It's pretty awesome. All right, the speech. You ready? How long you been working on it? How are you going to do it? You're going to have note cards. You're going to wing it. What are you going to do?
It's right here. Here it is. It's right here.
We're unveiling it first.
I'm going through it. I'm reading it every day. I'm reading it multiple times a day. It's really difficult because they're giving us 5 minutes, and they save hard 5 minutes because they don't want it to be 10 or 15. I wrote it the first time. It was 17 minutes the first time I wrote it, and it was spectacular. It was funny. It was dynamic. It was heartfelt. It was sad. It was everything. But it was 17 minutes. So I have been able to carve it down to 5 minutes and with a little bit of spare time to really talk about my family, but it's going to be fun. I give my thanks to a lot of people. I'm humble and make amends with others. I get really in depth and emotional with a couple situations and then at the end, I just have a message to the world and to people that I have kind of come to realize in my life that has changed my life. And I think I kind of hit everything. I hit every emotion, and I'm really excited to do it. I'm nervous as shit.
Yeah, I could imagine, because we both spoke a million times, and after a while, it's not a big deal. But this is different. This is the speech of your life.
Yeah, there's no question I'm going to get up there. I'm going to be so excited because I am a public speaker. I love speaking to people. I get motivated, and I'm never nervous in front of people to talk. But this is a one-time situation. This is a big deal. Yeah, there is no practice for this. You don't get a second chance, and you want to make sure you hit it out of the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm going to read it off of a teleprompter rather than just speak from my heart, because I'm afraid if I speak from my heart, Booney, I'm going to forget something. I'm afraid that I will be so emotional or passionate about something that I'll forget to say something that's very important that I wanted to hit. Yeah. So I'm going to read it, and I am going to I'm going to struggle to get certain words out of my mouth to fight the tears because I already know that's coming. And there's no question, I believe that people will appreciate every aspect that's going to come from my aura, from my body, and from my mouth. You'll see it. And I think, and it's genuine. And I think people will really get that feeling.
All right. Who's coming? Who'd you invite? Friends and family?
I have 90 people coming. 90.
Wow.
I think I have the biggest group of people coming to the Hall of Fame induction, I think, in the history of the NHL Hall of Fame. The coordinator of the Hall of Fame is probably freaking out right now because it's just taking care of tickets, hotel rooms, and
yeah, he needs beds. Needs beds.
Yep. I have a crazy group of people coming. Mostly I have a couple ex hockey friends that are coming. Tony Amonte's coming, Chris Chelios coming, Steve Larmer. Michelle Goulet, Dennis Savard, some of those guys that I can name a few, Eddie Belfour. But I just reached out to a bunch of people. I sent out a big text, and next thing you know, 90 people are coming. And I'm like, wow. So you want to talk about having gratitude and being so, like, I'm just blown away, you know? It's crazy, you know? Yeah.
When it happened, who's been the most interesting person that you heard from that you didn't expect?
Charles Barkley.
very cool.
Charles Barkley calls and says, "Welcome to the club, my brother. Welcome to the club. It's about time."
That's awesome.
It's about time. I've heard from it was really cool getting a call from Wayne Gretzky. I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah.
He's such a great ambassador to the game, and he just loves everybody, and so to get a call from him was awesome. Just people just come out of the woodwork, man, and you never would think that it would happen, but I've been very fortunate to get a lot of cool calls.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody you're looking forward to meeting that's going to be there that you haven't met?
No, I've pretty much met them all. I've seen everybody, all the Hall of Famers. There is a gentleman, and I can't remember his name. There's an 84-year-old who was playing in the Legends game on Sunday with us. 84 years old. He played way back in the 60s, early 60s. And, this is going to be a lot of fun watching this guy play. I don't know his name, but the fact that he's 84 years old and he's going to play in the game intrigues the hell out of me. So I know everybody else, but I don't know him.
All right. Now that Mr. Roenick now is in rare air, you're in a new club. Anyone, history of hockey, put two guys on either side of you on your line. Who you putting?
Ooh, I'm putting Gordie Howe for sure on one of them. And, you know, you would love to put Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux, but they're centermen. Mark Messier, they're centermen.
Right.
I would probably put Jaromir Jagr or Peter Forsberg on my wings, or maybe even Ovechkin. Ovechkin's the best goal scorer I've ever seen. He's going to break Wayne Gretzky's goal record, which everybody thought was untouchable. I would put them for sure. And on the back end, I'd have Gordie Howe and Chris Chelios, two of the my two favorites of all time. And then I'd probably take Eddie Belfour in net. He's my favorite goaltender of all time, one of my favorite people of all time. I'm just very, I'm very passionate about my generation. My generation was the best, I think, in the history of hockey. We had the best players in the history of hockey, and I'm proud that I got to play in it.
You know, it's a weird thing, too, when you talk about generations, and we play in a certain generation. We grew up watching a certain generation. But if you didn't grow up watching it and they're older than that, you know, in baseball, you hear the legends, you know, Babe Ruth and Mantle and this guy and that. Obviously, unbelievable icons. But it's like I can't picture them playing. So when you, if you ask me, all right, who's your favorite, who's the best, make your lineup out, it's really tough for me. Yep. You know, you try to be partial and say, oh, we got to have Babe Ruth on the team, but it's like Babe Ruth to me now seems like a Disney character, like he never really existed.
And by the way, he might be an easy pick too, right?
I mean, right, it's right, it's so I understand. All right, I was reading this about you, pretty cool, talking about when you were a kid and one of your buddies, you know, the story about asking your parents, hey, can we bring Jeremy along to That's start playing started. Hockey? Yeah. Were you like 4 or 5 years old? Tell me.
I was 4 years old. I was living in Seymour, Connecticut in an apartment building. And my mom's friend who lived right next door, she had a little boy the same age as me. So we literally played together and it was like they were neighbors. The next door neighbor came to my mom and says, hey, we're putting Johnny into skating lessons, into hockey lessons. Would Jeremy come and keep him company? Because if he goes by himself, he'll probably want to get off the ice and quit. But if Jeremy's with him, maybe he'll enjoy it more. And my mom's like, sure, we know nothing about hockey. She goes and gets a football helmet for me. She gets these double runner skates and, you know, knee pads. And I go on the ice. I look ridiculous because my mom doesn't know anything about hockey. And I went on the ice, and I never came off. I literally loved it so much. My mom had to come on the ice and drag me off the ice on one of the, you know, the early sessions because I was having so much fun. You know, I always wonder whatever happened to that kid and how far he ever got. But it was because of him and his mom asking my mom just to keep him company. And I did.
Well, you think about this when you're going to the Hall of Fame. Like, well, you had to have figured it out by the time you got to a certain age, if it wouldn't have been that kid. But do you think with your family, did you have any hockey background? Was there any reason for you ever to play hockey? So you're saying if he wouldn't have invited you, you would have never known what you had on the ice.
Never. My dad was a football and soccer player. Not once did he ever think of hockey.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. The rest of us kind of have it out there to follow. Yeah. Yours was by chance.
By chance. No, hockey was never a part of my family in history before I started, which is kind of weird. But my dad would have wanted me to be a soccer player. He was from Germany. You know, his family was from Germany, big soccer fan. So soccer was number one in my household.
All right. Other than your autograph's going to change now, you can put the HOF, which is pretty damn cool. How'd this change your life? Or how is it going to change your life?
Number one, it puts an end to a chapter. I think everybody has to have an end to a chapter. And for me, this chapter of my life, the hockey life, hasn't been able to get closed. And I think there's always something inside you that that is missing. And when that piece gets put in, it's almost like you can move on to the next, you know, to the next part of your life and focus on something. You'd be more humble, more thankful. And I think you appreciate things a little bit more when you can put a final stamp on something in your life. You know, I had a higher power moment earlier this year that changed the way I think, changed the way I act, the way I see things, and the way I live my life. And ever since that happened, a lot of good things have been happening to me. I have a energy in the air around me that I've never felt before. And I truly believe that me going into the Hall of Fame this year was a result of my mentality, my thought process, that higher power moment that put me on a different path for the rest of my life. And even though I'm 54 years old, Boone, doesn't matter when you find it, doesn't matter when, the fact that it does mean something. And this Hall of Fame induction puts a stamp on a career that had great moments and a lot of terrible moments. And I can close it now and focus on having a lot of great moments for the rest of the way.
That's awesome. And you're talking about that, having a moment. I had a moment like that about 7 years ago, but that's a talk for another time.
I know your moment. I know your moment, Boone, and it means a lot. I know your moment. I do.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yep. It's I appreciated yours. We've shared it. You're a good person. You're a good dad. And, you know, I think that's what we have to realize. And we just got to, you know, we got to live that way. And that's where I'm at. So I appreciate your moment. Cool. Yeah, I appreciate your moment. And you made me think about mine, too.
All right. For those of you watching or listening to the Brett Boone podcast today, I had a tough time nailing down Jeremy this morning. He's running around. He's got business. What are you doing right now?
I'm actually going into a liquor store here in New Hampshire to sell my Whiskey in the Wild, chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey. You go to whiskeyinthewild.com. It's the best whiskey you'll ever have on the planet, bar none. Every place I go into, I sell plenty of cases of it. I'm also going in because I have my own podcast, and in about 10 minutes, I'm going to go do my own podcast inside the liquor store and then go in to sell liquor right after and whiskey. So, I am very involved in Whiskey in the Wild. I hope everybody looks for it, tries it. I guarantee you it'll be the best experience you'll ever have. And I'm glad I got the chance to get with you, Boone. I appreciate you having me on always.
I appreciate it, man. Once again, congratulations. It's going to be an awesome weekend. I'll be checking you out Monday. Keep it tight. Keep it in that 5 minutes.
So I can
give you a little stamp of approval. No, you're going to do just fine. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Speech of a lifetime. For those of you watching the Brett Boone podcast now or on our own YouTube channel, check it out. If you have, for those listening on the Odyssey app or wherever you download the podcast, until next time, keep it here. Thanks, Jeremy.
See you, Booney.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.